We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now it's time for Mark and Hart, featuring Mark James.
I'm the reason why rap became great in the Western Mass suburbs.
Love the show. Hate Mark James, but you're an awesome radio host.
This is WEEI.
And I think one minute.
Exactly.
The next star here at WEEI, that of course is Mark with a C, James.
And you can't spell Marconi without the letters M-A-R-C.
And Andy Hart.
In general, it's a good rule. If you're going to be a jackass, be right.
Be right.
Hart, outside of you, is so vanilla.
Ow.
But when you guys are together, it really is great.
It is so good, dude.
Can I ask you a very stupid, simple question?
Well, I expect that coming from you.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
Yep. You know what the good thing is when I come to this show? I'm the third biggest a-hole.
Yes, sir.
It's Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
That's just the sad reality. Not everybody's perfect like us.
Mac and Hart. Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
12 hours, is it 1,000 an hour? So 12,000?
I mean,
divided by
there's 60 minutes.
16 a minute.
So if I do 16 every minute for 12 hours, I have 12,000 push-ups.
This is the biggest hard-o move in history.
You can have it all, but how much do you want it? Serenine in my yellow summer. I love Oasis.
I feel like I'm just standing up and I got right leg, left leg spread out wide and someone's in front of me just ready to kick.
All right, Mark and Hart, hour three. Coming up next hour, Jim Ross, the man who is Hall of Famer in every step of the way and the greatest wrestling announcer of all time. And he's now the face and voice of AEW. He's got a new book out called Under the Black Hat. So we'll be joined by him in an hour. We'll talk to him about WrestleMania and everything.
Maybe Jalen Hurts. Can we get a Jalen Hurts
Jalen Hurts?
Ask him if he thinks he's an NFL quarterback.
Hey, we could get into Jalen Hurts, Kenneth Murray, who the Patriots are looking at, apparently, or a lot of mock draft thinks that the Patriots could possibly take him out of Oklahoma.
CD Lamb.
What about, like, what's up with Baker Mayfield? Is this guy going to go Johnny Manziel, or is he going to turn it around? We can get into that.
Again, all of these, I think, will be somewhat biased opinions from him.
Well, and not only that, how much longer is OU going to be able to hold on to Lincoln Riley? Because he's the hot commodity for the next guy.
Especially as more of these quarterbacks from that system, that style, are in the NFL, at some point a team's going to say, well, I have the quarterback. I'm going to go get the coach to try to maximize this a little bit like the Cardinals did. So, yeah, that's a good question.
No, we
might need him for multiple segments.
Yeah, we might. Good old JR going to be joining
is
us.
Is he shipping in any barbecue for the interview?
No, we don't have any of that.
Be doing that?
Yeah, that would be great. I'd like to get a book just to read the book, too. But
look at you begging.
No, but usually they...
I'd like a book and breakfast, please.
Hey, listen, man. Usually they kind of get... Well, maybe get one later. I want to check this out, though. But he says on thing, it's not... He says a lot of things about the WWE, but it's not a, quote, hatchet job.
Right.
So he doesn't, like, burn bridges. He doesn't, but he, I guess, gets into some things and how, I mean, he also lost his wife a few years ago, Jan, his angel. So we'll talk to him in about an hour. We'll get to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. So there's a lot of things I want to get to. Also, ESPN did something this week, an odds makers look at who's more valuable, Brady or Belichick. And I've got that, and it's really interesting how it's just broken down. There's no opinions. It's all just facts. So that's broken down away as well. So the Patriots cut Cody Kessler, no surprise. So now they have Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, who they brought back for the third time last week. What that says to me is that over the course of the next 3 weeks to a month, the Patriots will be either drafting a quarterback coming up, in 3 weeks when the NFL draft takes place, or maybe they're going to look at a veteran quarterback, but I'd like to think that if they were going to look at a veteran quarterback, that they would done so by now anyway.
Well, the price might keep going down, though.
Well, you know, it
the
will.
Longer those people sit out there, and then the longer a couple teams draft quarterbacks, get the guy they want to build around, whatever it may be, and even the secondary guys. I'm not even just talking about Tua and Joe Burrow up top, but as you start to get Love and Eason, and maybe a team decides Jalen Hurts as an NFL quarterback, some of those other guys, then the musical chairs game slows down, and you can get a guy on the cheap.
So what if you could get Cam Newton or Jameis Winston for nothing? And I mean like the veterans minimum, nothing, no signing bonus, just absolutely nothing.
Nope. Quick no. Hard no. You know why? What's the point? If I'm signing Cam Newton, then I've decided that Jarrett Stidham's not my starter, correct?
Yes.
So if Jarrett Stidham is not my starter, I've fallen out of love with Jarrett Stidham. What am I doing long term? Is Cam Newton the long term answer?
No.
Okay.
No, he's not.
So then I'd rather not have Cam Newton win a couple extra games for me because he's a veteran quarterback and he can make a couple plays, right? I'd rather just start the process of tanking so I can get my quarterback named Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or somebody. To me, one of those guys feels like spinning your wheels. Unless you think legitimately Jameis Winston. He's got talent.
5,000 yards,
right.
Over 32 touchdowns.
I can take away the interceptions.
Right.
I can fix him.
Right.
I'm a fixer. I'm Josh McDaniels. I'm Bill Belichick. We'll fix this.
Sure.
Okay, if you believe that firmly, go for it. Go get him. You're going to get good value because no one else wants him. I'm fine with that. But on like a one-year deal, or it would feel like you're just spinning your wheels for a year. Because the one of those guys is probably going to win you a couple extra games, right? So now instead of being 4-12 or 5, like now maybe you sneak up and you're in the teens with your pick, and now you're not getting one of those high draft picks. You're not getting your quarterback. What have you done? What have you accomplished in this mixed message bridge year? So I don't really understand what that would solve for anybody. I'm all in on Stidham. I'd like to think Bill Belichick has a plan, and right now it feels like the only way you could say he has a plan is he likes Jarrett Stidham. He thinks Jarrett Stidham has a chance to be a franchise quarterback or at worst a middle-of-the-road starter.
Would you be surprised or even shocked if the Patriots at 23 go with a quarterback?
No.
Okay.
I think that has to be on the table.
Because here's my thing. You always have to prepare for the worst that, what if we did miscalculate on Stidham? What if he's not the guy that we thought he was? What if he just doesn't have it?
Right.
And as well, what if he's just, A.J. McCarron?
Right.
Which is good, but you're a career clipboard holder.
You're a backup.
That's it.
You're not even a middling starter. You're not a starter.
Yeah, you're a career clipboard holder. So my thing is this, is that if you're going to rebuild this thing, then do it from the ground up. And I'm okay with taking, whether it's Jordan Love in the first round, whether it's Jacob Eason, if they can get back into the second round by, stockpiling picks or whatever, maybe they can trade down and get in the second round and get Eason and maybe get a later one and a two instead of staying at 23. Bill's always good about manipulating the draft, which I'm totally okay with. That's fine. But I'm like, if you're going to be in this thing and this is what you want. Now, from a sports talk radio standpoint, Cam Newton, you can't beat it.
Right.
Well, like from a WEI sports talk radio standpoint of being able to just sit here on a Monday and criticize and his press conferences, his interceptions, everything about him, or just like this is David Price on steroids, figuratively speaking, in terms of
as far as we know.
Right. As far as we know, in terms of just being a, so I'm like, well, listen, what are we going to do here? I'm okay with either or. I don't want Cam here because I know that Cam, he's the antithetical Boston athlete. He's not a winner. He's all about himself. He's had shoulder surgery and foot surgery over the course of the last 12 months.
Which is also why I think he's out there, because teams would probably want to put him
through
a very close physical, not trust another doctor's. They want their people to look at him, and right now you're not allowed to do that. You can't take those physicals. So I think that also is part of the reason why he stays out there.
He's damaged goods. He's a depressed asset, but boy, would he be great for the sports talk radio business. Oh,
I can't see it. Can you?
No.
Can you envision?
No.
That little passing of Bill Belichick goes to the podium and moves his mic around.
Right,
and
right.
Does his nothing press conference. And then Mr. Cam Newton with his grandma's hair thing done.
He takes an hour and a half to get ready for his post-game press conference.
I just can't envision it.
I know, but it's a double-edged sword. Like I said, from a Patriots success standpoint, oh, you couldn't impede it more in terms of trying to resurrect in the post-Brady era. But by God, from a sports talk radio standpoint, that's radio porn. Oh, that is radio. It's a get Cam Newton here. It would be Jameis Winston, too. Now, sure. Winston's different because he came in the league 4 years later. And, you know, I think you could do something with him, but, you know, where he can cut down his interceptions in maybe half. So you go from 30 interceptions to 15, which is certainly a little bit, you know, more workable. But Jameis Winston and Cam Newton have that pastor, that Sunday afternoon preacher ability. They can make thousands of people on a Sunday yell Jesus Christ. They can really do that. They have that ability to do that. So your thoughts on that, 617-779-7937. You brought something up that I want to get to as well that I brought up early in the week about Chris Sale's surgery.
Awful.
Bad look. Awful the worst look you could ever do.
And I wrote about it yesterday for the website.
On WEI.com, check it out.
Got into a big fight with Mutt the other night because he actually defended it, which I don't know if he was just playing devil's advocate or whatever, but I can't understand. I can't understand anyone arguing, and even Chaim Bloom knew it was coming. Some of his comments in the conference call they did were he was aware that, and, you know, I talked to Dr. Elatrache and, or Elatrache, is it Trache or Trosh? I don't know. Elatrache, the guy who did Tom Brady's knee.
Yeah.
Out in L.A., and, you know, we made it clear we didn't want this to take away from any coronavirus. It's not that you took away necessarily directly from coronavirus patients, but you disregarded basically all the laws of our land right now, whether it's the state, the national government, or the CDC. Don't travel. No unnecessary travel. Don't leave your home if you don't need to. No elective surgeries. And then the minor thing, and maybe I'm being naive, but the surgery was done with a few people in the room. It wasn't just Dr. Elatrache. There was probably a nurse and a side surgeon or whatever they call them. They all had masks on. They all had gloves on. Those could have been donated somewhere. Those could have been put to better use. Now, my guess is he wouldn't have. He saves them in case the next rich person comes along and wants to have an elective surgery. Make no mistake, this was elective surgery.
It was elective surgery.
You know how sure. I know that? Because they elected not to have it late last summer.
Yep.
They elected not to have it early this spring training,
yep.
Right?
Not now, all of a sudden. Either.
And who did they want to do the surgery first? I'll give you his name because it's very familiar to most.
He's Dr. the most, James Andrews?
Right, but he couldn't. Why? He shut his clinic down because of the executive order in the state of Florida by the governor to not have elective surgery. So the best guy is adhering to, again, I'm using the term the laws of the land right now, sort of the way things are being done. And yet the Red Sox decided we're going to send Chris Sale across the country on, I'm sure, a private jet, but there's still travel involved there. There's still people involved with that and have an elective surgery. It is not for his livelihood. That's the other argument Mutt kept. It's for his livelihood. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like you've beaten this dead horse quite a bit, that he has a 5-year, $145 million fully guaranteed contract. So he knows where his paychecks are coming from.
It's guaranteed.
For 5 years.
It's money in the bank.
So it's not his livelihood.
No, no.
And it's not affecting his day-to-day life. I know this because he was throwing not that long ago. That's when they decided, ooh, something felt wrong. And I believe his quote was, I felt exactly like I did late last season.
Yeah, he was throwing spring training.
Right. So,
sure.
So he can take the milk out of the fridge, right? He can feed himself. His arm was working.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he could do all those things. He could live his life. So not affecting his livelihood. And the argument is, oh, it's going to get him to the field, you know, a month earlier in 2021. He gets this done a month or two earlier. He gets to then you should have had it late last offseason if return to the field was the most important
thing. Well, that's the thing I don't understand. Well, why was this thing postponed so many times? I don't get that. Why, when the Red Sox missed the playoffs after winning 24 fewer games than they did the season before, why did they not have it when they knew they were mathematically eliminated? Just do it then. And so to do it now, right around the time where COVID-19 has been just like it's turned into an actual pandemic and an outbreak, that's a bad look.
It was selfish. It was selfish
it was
by
so
the Red
selfish.
Sox. Selfish
so
by Chris Sale.
Horrible.
And it's a symbolic gesture. You're telling all these kids, you're idiots, get off the beaches. You're telling all these kids, you're idiots, get off the basketball courts, right? They're putting caps on basketball, pick up basketball courts because kids are going out and playing, you know, 5-on-5. If they do that, is there a guarantee that someone's going to get it or pass it on to it? No. They've asked you to stay home. They've asked you to social distance. They've asked you to not have elective surgeries. And because you're the Red Sox and Chris Sale and have the money and the plane and the opportunity and the doctor, you just basically flipped the bird at all those requests, right? And said, nope, it's more important to me. I know what I'm doing. This is more important to me. If we all do that, if we all make decisions that are more important to us, then what are we doing here? Then we're not staying home. We're not shutting, right? So, I mean, either you're adhering to what the CDC and the national government and the state government ask you to do or you're not, and clearly the Red Sox and Chris Sale decided they weren't.
Yeah, and the World Health Organization, when you look at, like, it's one thing when people don't like the fact that celebrities or pro athletes are getting tested when regular people can't and how bad of a look that is. This is elective surgery getting done. This is doing it when nothing is, like, even close to this. It'd be like, seriously, like one of the Kardashians wanting to get a nip tuck or some breast enhancements electively.
What I said to Mutt, I said, if a porn star wants to get a boob job right now, that's her industry, that's her livelihood, why shouldn't she be able to do it?
And unlike Chris Sale, her isn't guaranteed unless she works.
Right. And you could argue with a lot of men at home, there might be opportunity for her to work more, and there's an industry out there. But it just, it's a terrible look. That phrase is just the bottom line of it. And again, it's another... You had a decision. Bill Belichick, he put out that PSA the other night, and somewhere in there, he just asked people to basically make good decisions, right? A lot of things we can't do in this time. We adjust, make good decisions.
Yeah,
this was a bad decision.
He didn't sound like he was reading off cards at all.
Well, he did have an issue with the word heroic, where he said heroic or something. It was almost like the prompter stumbled and he read it in phrases.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that probably was it.
But he was trying.
Yeah.
He was doing the effort. The opposite of what Chris Sale and the Red Sox did.
Yeah, it just the Red Sox could, in the last year plus, has there been an organization, it's a rhetorical question, that has made more dumbass decisions than the Red Sox? It's tough to look at it. It's tough to, I mean, really, who has...
Certainly not around here. I'd have to do a deeper dive into some of the other cities. But.
Yeah, who is, like, okay, the Houston Texans trading DeAndre Hopkins, but that's a dumb move, but I'm talking like... You know, like just the whole giving Chris, why did you give Chris Sale a $145 million contract? Everybody wants to blame Dombrowski. Listen, Dombrowski doesn't sign the front of the checks. John Henry said a year ago at spring training, we learned from Lester. We didn't want to make the same mistake we made with John Lester. John Lester is the reason that Chris Sale is set for life. Not that he wasn't set for life anyway, but like really where now you have money where your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' grandkids are set forever. And the Red Sox are now married to a contract to a guy who's a bag of bones, and I call them a porcelain doll. And he's done. He's done until probably the All-Star break next year.
And we know that they're a reactionary team. This will have adverse effects moving forward. Because now they're going to say, well, we learned from the Chris Sale contract and not give somebody that maybe they should give a contract to because of this situation. It's sort of like the NFL thing when the teams go from disciplinarian coaches to players coaches and never find the happy medium of just making the right decision. That's the back and forth pendulum the Red Sox are on.
All right, who is more valuable according...
Andy or Mark?
That's an easy... that's
know it's easy.
Neither.
I make you listenable. It's a fact, not an opinion. I make Mark James listenable Saturdays, 9 to 1.
Mark makes you less vanilla.
Oh, that was just an idiot.
Yeah.
There's like two people. There's that guy and
that's a donkey.
You're a donkey, bro.
Yeah,
bro.
Like he's counting them. He's counting them. No, the
millions hate millions and millions hate Mark. Like two hate me.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen your Twitter feed there.
Well, those are trolls. The trolls love because you know
do
why they poke me.
Not?
Because they know I respond, and I give them entertainment for a few hours at night. I go back and forth with them.
All right, 617-779-7937. We have a empirically quantifiable facts and data to back up who's more valuable or has been more valuable, Brady or Belichick, where opinion's optional, but we actually have the facts that was done this week. We'll get to your phone calls on that. Now it's time for trending.
OMF. Weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, now they're claiming that the WrestleMania that's too big for just one night. That's how they're promoting this.
They're also selling shirts that say, I wasn't there.
Oh, are they? Yeah, that's hilarious.
It's creative.
That's pretty funny. WWE's doing that?
Yeah, oh yeah. They're like official merchandise. I wasn't there. Tampa, like 2020 WrestleMania, whatever.
I was supposed to be there, but unfortunately not going to be there tomorrow. But
so was Roman Reigns, but unfortunately he's not going to be there either.
I know.
Unless he is. Unless this is the greatest work in wrestling history. Could it be? If he runs down with a mask on and interferes in a match? Maybe he spears Goldberg.
You know what? By the way, that's not a bad. I could see
I'm an idea.
Yeah, no, you're not. But that, I could see them swerving in doing something
like that.
All right, the show is pre-recorded at various venues. Rob Gronkowski will be hosting the two-night pay-per-view event, and we will be joined next hour by the legendary Jim Ross. He used to be the voice of the WWE, now with AEW, to talk about WrestleMania and his new book, Under the Black Hat. Gronk also announced that this week he'll be participating in a virtual beer pong tournament. I thought I was going to say beer bong tournament, but beer pong, okay.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, starting April 6th to raise money for those affected by COVID-19. Other people going to join are former Pats wide receiver Danny Amendola and Bruins forward Tyler Seguin. You mentioned Johnny Manziel?
Yes, Johnny Manziel's on the list. Wow. You know what it's called?
No.
The Ballina Cup. Get it? Ball in a cup.
Oh. Is that what it's
called?
Sounds
like one of your bad jokes.
Not going to lie to you. It really does.
It took me a few minutes to get it. I didn't get it right away. The Ballina Cup. I was like, Ballina Cup? Ball in a cup.
Adam Schefter joined OMF yesterday as part of Brady Week. He stated the draft is 100% going to take place April 23rd and said, that's supposed to be the apex. If we're still burying bodies like this on a daily basis, what I don't understand is why the draft can't take place on May 23rd. What does it matter? Calling out the league like that. Wow.
Is he using reverse psychology now? He wants it changed, so now he's saying, oh, it's going to happen April 23rd. It feels like reverse psychology is using
it. No, I don't know. President Trump's going to hold a conference call with professional sports commissioners today at noon, just in over a half hour. Scheduled participants from the NBA, Adam Silver, WNBA, Kathy Engelbert, MLB's Rob Manfred, NFL, Roger Goodell, NHL's Gary Bettman, Dana White from UFC, Vince McMahon from WWE, and they'll also have commissioners from the PGA Tour and MLS, who you've never heard of. A press briefing about the call will take place around 3:30. I wish there was some way you could hack into that conference call.
Like these Zoom bombs that have been occurring? You're going to Zoom bomb that?
I would love to hear this.
You're like, who's the guy down the bottom row? Who the hell is that guy? Never seen him before. Oh, that's just Mark. Ignore me.
Well, or just at least listen to it where you're not being showing up and all this stuff, you know? Ken Rosenthal reports this morning that Major League Baseball, boy, are they doing a 180 already, considering a plan to play in empty spring training stadiums with quarantine players, but the logistics are extremely complex and perhaps insurmountable. That tune has changed in 1 week. Who's more valuable? Brady Belichick, according to the numbers. We'll get to that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Tom Brady will win this divorce. And it may be, at least in the press, an amicable divorce. But he's going to win it for the first 2 years. Because he is inheriting Bruce Arians and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and a great tight end, functional running backs. He's going to win this puppy. His production is going to be outstanding. And New England's going to be a complete bore at quarterback. And they've got, I believe this morning, the worst weapons in the NFL. It is now a weapons league.
That's Colin Cowherd. We are Mark and Hart, Mark with the C. James, Andy Hart. And finally this week, the great Belichick-Brady debate was broken down by just numbers, according to David Purdom from ESPN. And he got into, first of all, why Tampa and New England have the same Super Bowl odds, which is, that's very interesting. But they get into the goat of covering spreads. Now, covering spreads in terms of coaches, they are measured by championships and straight up wins and losses. So it doesn't have to do with anything covering spreads. But coaches' records against the point spread, ATS, can reflect whether the teams exceed or fail to meet the betting market's expectations. Most coaches who last several seasons end up with an ATS record of about 50%. So the elite coaches are often around 55% or better. Former late great Bill Walsh covered 58% of his career games. In the Super Bowl era, no coach has covered the spread in more games than Bill Belichick. His career of against the spread is 249, 184, and 10, 57.5% amongst the best ever. But that's only with Tom Brady. With Brady starting, Belichick against the spread, 59.6%. Without Brady, including his three seasons in Cleveland, Belichick is 60-56-3 for 51.7%. So with Brady, Belichick, 59.6%. Without Brady, 8 percentage points less, 51.7%. So,
which is still good, because they said good coaches are 50% against the spread.
It's good. No.
He's above that number. He's just right. Not the elite category he's in when he has Brady under center.
Right. So then it goes into, so who's more valuable? Odds makers take different approaches to determine the value of a coach. It says it's hard to put a number on it, but Davis of Caesar Sportsbook said, if I were to power rank coaches as to what they're worth to the number, Belichick is definitely number one. And then he goes on to say, listen, if Brady were to be ruled out suddenly, the point spread on the upcoming game would shift significantly, certainly more than if Belichick were to miss a game for whatever reason. So there's that. And so which goat is more valuable? For one game, Brady unquestionably has more influence on the betting market than Belichick does. For the season, though, the Patriots' odds seem to tell a different story. Now it's bettors' turn to decide. Oh, by the way, both the Patriots and Buccaneers over under total wins is at 9.
I'll take the over for the Bucs and the under for the Patriots.
Exactly.
And I also believe both the Bucs and the Patriots are 20-1. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
I heard an interview with a sportsbook guy out of Vegas who said if it weren't for Bill Belichick, any other team on the planet, they'd be 100-1.
Yes.
If Brady left and went. Like,
yeah.
So that's, that tells you what they think
yes.
of him. But yeah. I also think some of that is money, too. You know, the game they play where they're trying to control the injection of money, right? I mean, because if you make the Patriots 100-1, people are jumping all over it, right? I get Belichick at 100-1, I'll take my chance. Like
sure.
That's it. So you can't go that dramatic because it'll swing the money in a way you don't want it to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're going to find out because we don't have any Brady numbers. Like, you can counter Belichick's overall numbers with his Cleveland and non-Brady numbers. You can't counter Brady's numbers with Belichick with anything else until this year. You don't even have a small sampling, right? You just have him with Belichick. So we'll see. I tend to think, and this also doesn't answer the question. I tend to think Brady is better suited for success this year. He has better weapons. I think, does that mean he's better? Or does that mean just situationally for this one-year window or this two-year window, it's set up better? Maybe Brady's good this year. Bill reboots, and in 2 years, we're like, wow, Belichick's 14-2 again. That's impressive. Because Brady didn't have to do anything. All Brady had to do was go to Derek Jeter's house, right? He has to go move into a 30,000-square-foot mansion on the water.
Right on Bahama Drive there in Davis Island,
right?
Man. Oh, that place is unbelievable. Oh, boy.
They call let it, you there?
They call it St. Jetersburg. Well, the weird thing about it is that there's no gate to get in. Anybody can just go right up to it and look at it. And, like, because they're I wanted to show, this girl came in from Seattle, she's flying in, I go, I want to show you Derek Jeter's castle. So we went there, and there's a young girl who's on the swings next door. I just said, how many people come by here? She's like, oh, I lost count.
Right.
In other words, so many people come by. This thing is unbelievable. It's 32, they call it St. Jetersburg.
Well, they said that Joe Madden used to joke they should build a new stadium on Jeter's lot. Just knock down the house and build a stadium that's big enough.
Yeah, he's right. He's not wrong.
You think he'll get a boat, too? I saw that there's a nice boat lift out front.
Oh, there's in the back.
Or back, whatever.
In the back,
front
yeah.
I call the front on the water.
Oh,
to me, that's the front.
Oh,
you live
okay.
on the water,
you're
that's
a boat
your front.
Guy. Yeah, your boat. Oh, he could easily do it. I'm surprised Jeter doesn't already have one.
Yeah, there were none in any of the pictures or aerials
no,
I saw.
No, well, I'm sure Brady can at least do that.
And he can afford one. I think he'll be okay.
I think him and Giselle are going to really love. And I love how Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times talked about his commute. 7.3 miles exactly.
Right. 20 minutes depending on traffic, whatever.
Yeah, but it's an easy shot. You're going to go by Mas Venus and Club 2001 Odyssey, which are certainly, you know, they're literally right near next to Raymond James Stadium.
Right. And isn't George Steinbrenner or whatever
field right across the street?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So it's an interesting. Listen, he'll love it down there. I think it'll be good for Tom, and I think he feels free. And I think this week when Wes Welker was on the Greg Hill Show, talked about feeling more free after he left New England.
Right. It's a different. We'll see. We'll see if he feels free if things aren't going well in the middle of the season. But there is definitely going to be a freedom. Mark's also distracted again because James Harrison, former Patriots linebacker, just crushed an egg between his forearm and bicep by flexing.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, because they say you can't squeeze an egg and break it if you just hold the top and bottom like between your fingers.
And he did it.
But there's a lot more power in your forearm and bicep. I don't think either you or I could do it.
No.
He's a massive human being.
No, James Harrison, he was able to do it. All right, let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. You want to weigh in on that, the Brady-Belichick more valuable debate. It's basically Brady, folks. Belichick goes, his win percentage covering goes up 8 points with Brady than without. Pat's up in Weymouth. Thanks for holding. What's up, Pat?
Hey, what's going on? I love the show, guys.
Thanks, Pat.
I work every weekend, so I listen all the time. But I'm a huge WWE fan. I have a wrestling tattoo.
Oh, nice. What's the tattoo of?
I got the old school WWF logo, the blue and the yellow on the back of my back.
Nice. Oh, by the way, Pat, if you're ever going to get a wrestling logo, you picked a great one. That is awesome. That is so cool.
One. You can't go with any other one. It's the classic 80s logo with like the big like hard letters. It's a great logo. But what I really called in for is me and my buddies came up with a wrestling drinking game a couple years ago, and we've been playing it ever since, and it's great for quarantine.
What is it?
So you get the network, you fire up the network, you go to any Royal Rumble 99 or before, and you take a sip of your beer every time somebody comes down to the ring. If they're dead or they had a stroke or, you know, whatever extenuating circumstances you want to put on there, you take a shot. It's like a power hour, but you will get it gets you wrecked. Like,
it's any Royal Rumble prior to 94?
Anyone prior to 99, really. I mean,
okay.
you need a good mix of old dead wrestlers in there. And the earlier you go, the more intense it gets.
Okay, because I was going to say, you could probably do something from 2005 and before because you look at Chris Benoit, look at Eddie Guerrero, you look at those guys who are not like, you know, and oh, man, it's crazy. Pat, what was your favorite era? For me, it was just the Attitude Era, which I'm looking forward to getting Jim Ross on here in just over 20 minutes because he was sort of the face and the voice of that era. What was yours?
So I grew up in the Attitude Era, so there's always like a soft spot for the Attitude Era. I love it. But my favorite era is like the Hogan era. I'm an old school Hogan guy. I love my favorite matches. I know it's the worst like technical wrestling match, but Hogan Andre.
Oh, no, Pat. Hey, Pat, that will still go down as the most memorable, the number one match in WrestleMania history. That changed everything. That changed every single thing, man. And
it was actually rated number one. ESPN did the top 20 WrestleMania matches of all time, and that was number one.
No kidding.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's the best match. I mean, it's got everything. It's got the build-up. It's got, like, the emotion of it all. It's the celebration at the end. The crowd goes nuts. It's got everything you want in a match. It's just not. Technically, you know, there's not like high spots or anything like that. It's not a great match, but the emotion of the match is awesome.
Well, I just remember, thanks for the phone call, being in elementary school, and my grandfather took me and my friend to Springfield Civic Center, who was on closed circuit television at the time. And when Hulk Hogan slammed Andre the Giant, everyone was just like, holy, you know, like it was like, wow.
And if now, in hindsight, with all the documentaries and Hogan not being sure if Andre was actually going to let him slam him and the uncertainty of the match. And, you know, you say it's fixed, but no one's slamming Andre if Andre doesn't want to get slammed and sort of that unknown. And, yeah, we didn't even go to closed circuit. I was a poor little kid. You waited. I think the Sunday Night News would give you, like, updates on WrestleMania.
No kidding.
Watch, like, the local news.
Really?
Maybe, like, WrestleMania is occurring. And
yeah.
And it was just a totally different time, obviously.
But, yeah. And I was thinking, too, like WrestleMania 1 a couple years prior to that, my dad took me and my friend Sean to the Hartford Civic Center to see it on closed circuit TV. And so, like, at that time, I didn't know that, but Vince McMahon and his wife Linda, they gambled everything. If that event failed, they were done. It was over. And just
see, I don't remember that one. See, three is where I kind of jumped.
Yeah, judging from just the Hartford Civic Center that day, all I remember was they had an intermission, and I'll never forget this because you could not move on the concourse of the Hartford Civic Center. It was like wall, and I just remember like trying to get to the men's room and like oh my God. I'm like, if this is like this everywhere
in the country, right?
Like if other, this is, and of course, the rest is history. And now Vince is like, hey, I'm a billionaire. I can do it in an empty gym now. And instead of, how many people would take, do you understand that 82,500 people were going to sit in Raymond James Stadium to watch this thing tomorrow night? And instead he's going to be like, no, empty gym. We can do it. Don't worry about it.
Over 2 nights on the, and I guess there was a lot of talk of maybe having it on ESPN, and there were various behind the scenes negotiations on a lot of different options.
To me, they should have done that.
Yeah, I forgot why they said it fell through, but there was talk. Oh, ESPN might have backed out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, there was actually a recent story on, like, SI.com that sort of detailed the various
options he had. Because they've been showing all the previous.
Right. Yeah, they're in bed. Oh, no, that was last year there was some ESPN talk, and ESPN was going to have, like, a live sports center desk
okay.
at the show.
At the MetLife Stadium.
So they've been doing, but yeah, it's. I mean, Vince wants full control, and I think that in the end is why he won't give up some of these things to powerful networks like ESPN. Like, yeah, they'd be a good partner.
Right.
But if they're a good partner, now they have some say, and Vince has to give up control. And I don't think Vince is ready to necessarily do that. But so you liked, what's your favorite era? You asked the caller your favorite.
Well, the Attitude Era, Stone Cold, The Rock.
So that, but mine is Monday Night Wars. What is that era?
That is the Attitude Era.
Okay, that's sort of the end of the Attitude Era, right?
No, that's the Attitude Era.
That is considered. That was mine.
Yeah, that's it.
When you were bouncing back and forth on Monday nights, that was
when
real sports entertainment.
That was high school going into college, and it was like you had, like, people would have nitro parties.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like they literally would.
Yeah.
They have nitro parties.
That was my time.
And it was like, oh, my God. I can't even tell you. Me and my friends, we'd sneak backstage at Monday Nitro one time at the Omni in Atlanta. And it was like, just sneaking backstage there. This was like during the height of it.
Right.
Like during the peak of the NWO and all this stuff. And then so it's for me, like, you look back. That's why for, like, to have a guy like JR coming up, like, this guy was at every big, like, he did, like, he called them.
Right.
Like, they showed last night the replay of Orlando in 2008, WrestleMania 24, between Shawn Michaels and the farewell match with Ric Flair, and he called that. Like, he was there for that, and his family was all at ringside, and Ashley, now Charlotte, is his daughter. She was there crying, and now she's one of the big superstars out there. So a lot of the Ric Flair is getting a lot of run on ESPN now. Do you
notice
that?
I have noticed that, yes.
Like, a lot of run. He was on Get Up yesterday with Mike Greenberg. And
yeah, I have seen him.
He's getting a lot. And good for him, man. I mean, God bless.
From the deathbed back to the stardom.
He loves sports. And I guess the thing that he loves more than anything is LeBron James said that Ric Flair invented swagger. So Flair's running with that.
Well, plus the saying we always hear, give me two claps and a Ric Flair, like that there's an action to his name.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like that, you can say that. Give me a Ric Flair, and virtually everybody on the planet knows what you're asking for.
Well, Migos did a song, like the Ric Flair drip. Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, it is. All right, we'll come back on the other side. Jim Ross coming up at the top of the hour right here on Mark and Hart.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
This is Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
All right, Mark and Hart here. Jim Ross coming up, top of next hour, 617-779-7937. This seems pretty cool, what's on the call screen here. Johnny's up in Walpole. He's got an interesting story for us. Hello, Johnny.
Yeah, hey, first off, good show, guys. Thanks a lot for bringing some content that normally isn't heard on the radio, especially when you bring up old school wrestling. That cracks me up.
No, listen, Johnny, here's the thing. It's WrestleMania weekend. There's no NBA. There's no NHL. There's no Final Four. Like, it is what, like, you look on SportsCenter.
Look on ESPN last night when they were having an NBA 2K video game tournament.
Yeah.
I think there's room in the sports world right now to talk a little wrestling.
Seriously. Like, it's like what are you going to do? I mean, you know, you got to talk. At least the one, and I don't agree with them going through with this thing, but at least they're doing it. At least they've given us something to talk about.
Yeah. But when I was a kid, out in Franklin, I think it was 1981. There's a hockey rink out in Franklin, and the Andre the Giant was there, and the Moondogs, Rex and Spot, and people were chucking dog biscuits at him. It was out of control, but I met Andre the Giant. I shook his hand. It was amazing to see this. It was like putting your hand into a baseball glove.
I got to see him wrestle a couple times live, too. I never met him, but, I mean, it was like – like, he really was. Like, it was aptly titled the Eighth Wonder of the World.
Oh, without a doubt. But even funnier was a couple years later, the very first WrestleMania, my friend Bobby, you know, there was like five of his friends, but his younger brother Patrick, he had five of his friends. His brother Danny had some of his friends. There was about 20 kids in this, you know, guys. I mean, you know, age from 13 to 22 in this house. And his mom and dad walked in. And, you know, she was, like, shocked that we were all going nuts. And there was an interview with Andre the Giant. And with a straight face, I can't even make this up. They're talking to Andre. Swear to God, the funniest thing I ever heard in my life.
Oh, well, it was more than that. I mean, he was just, man, I'll tell you what, though, for a guy who, I think he died at 46, around was, like, 46 years old. It was in his early to mid-40s, but... he lived a hell of a life, man. It's unfortunate. If you watched, did you ever see the documentary, Johnny, on HBO?
Yes, I did, yeah. And you know, when I was a kid, you know, Andre was the good guy, but it's funny how they made him the bad guy.
I know. Yeah, he didn't, after a while, he didn't like that because he was so revered for so long. And then apparently, like, the place they used to go to here, Kowloon.
Yep.
That's where he would go to.
Yeah.
In Western Mass, after the Springfield Civic Center matches, he would go to a place called the Hookie Lao. That's where he would go to, and him and the Samoans and Jimmy Snuka. That's what I heard. That, like, oh, Andre the Giant was at the Hookie Lao, and it was like, wow. So that was like a big deal, and you'll never see anyone like that again.
And all those pictures of him in that documentary, you know, when he had the beer can, and it looks like one of those little mini cans in his hand, or he's in the plane, and he's got multiple seats, and they're like figuring out seatbelts across multiple seats, and just and then all the stuff with the Princess Bride. Because I don't know about but I must have seen The Princess Bride 100 times. It was the go-to substitute teacher movie for, like, my entire elementary school career. And then you see it that he couldn't actually even lift people up. Like, that was all staged because he had such a bad back at the time that they were like pulleys lifting people up. He's supposed to be this giant, but he could barely walk at the time. And just it's a cool story and a sad story all in one.
No, it is. I you felt bad because, like, when Gene Okerlund, who's also no longer with us, Mean Gene,
Gene's dead? I don't think I knew that.
He died about a year or two ago. Yeah, he did. And
listen, Mean Gene.
Yeah, right after the making of the Andre documentary, because he was in it.
Yeah.
So he, like, died not long thereafter, but he said it hurt him. It hurt because, listen, like, you got to understand that, like, yeah, you're 7'4", or whatever, 500 plus pounds, but, like, people pointing at you, laughing, and, like, talk, like, you can hear this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can hear.
He's got a heart.
Yeah.
He's got a soul. If you cut him, does he not bleed?
I mean, like, it's just, you know, so, but, man, he lived a life, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he enjoyed, like, but the thing about him was, like, he could have, even the doctors back then, they said that, like, hey, listen, we can dwarf, like, we can do some. He's like, no, I want to live like this, and this is
right.
I'm gonna go out, and when it's time to go, the saddest part was when it's said that he died in a hotel room in Paris by himself.
Right.
That no, and the guy who was locally here out of Rhode Island, Tim White, that was his caretaker. Vince said, you're gonna be on the road with him. And I met Tim White a few years ago backstage at the Hall of Fame ceremony. I talked to him. He's like, yeah, he's like no one you would ever meet. Like, just, you know. But Andre, he had his moments where if he got mad, get out.
Well, yeah.
Did you hear the thing about some guys in a bar who, like, one of them, like, you know, in Montreal or something like that, who wanted to mess with him. They went up to him, and one of them, like, hit him. And so Andre went out to his car, and he pushed over the car on inside. like he pushed over the car. Like, yeah, that's what we're going to do
just
here.
Just think of what he would have been in this day and age.
Oh, God.
With the media exposure the social media.
Oh,
and
I don't think
for better and worse. There'd probably be, you'd know more about him. It'd be a fun figure. You'd know the good side, but then there'd be a lot more of that and just the negatives that would come with it.
All right, Jim Ross, the voice of AEW, is coming up next. We will get him on, and we will talk about his new book and being the guy who is the voice of the WWE for the Attitude Era and beyond next, right here on Mark and Hart.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.